School of the Master, Lecture 11, on Being a Human Being. School of the Master, Lecture 11, on Being a Human Being. What does it mean to be a human being? Well, we can say anything we want. We can say to be a human being is to be the finest, most ideal, absolute being that anyone can ever be. It's to outpicture everything that you are, everything you ever could be, everything that you know about yourself. That's what being a human being is. Or a human being could be thought of as being limited. A human being could be thought of as being somebody that is not yet accomplishing what they want to accomplish. A human being, often thought of, as most people do, is somebody who cannot do what they'd like to do. You know, they cannot do what they'd like to do. A human being cannot be divine. A human being cannot be ideal. A human being cannot be whole and perfect. A human being cannot be beloved. A human being cannot be unconditional love. You see, all of those things sort of stand outside the parameters of what a human being is described as. But what are we going to talk about today as far as on being a human being? Are we going to talk about human beings' limitations? Or are we going to talk about human beings' expectations? What is the expectation you have of being a human being? What is the expectation I have of being a human being? Well, let's draw the curtain right away and say, I have chosen to step out of the allness into the finiteness. I have chosen to be a human being. And a human being is a finite being. Now, can the human being ever not be what it really is? No. The human being is always going to be divine. It's always going to be its ideal. It's always going to be fulfilled. It's always going to be perfect in every way. But one little area the human being has given itself to think about, to remember who and what it is. What is a human being? Is a human being the limitation that we put on the human being, or is the human being the ideal and we just are becoming aware of it? How do we become aware that we are the ideal human being, that we are the ideal of all? How do we become aware of that? Well, we don't become aware of it as we look around the world. We don't become aware of it as we look from moment to moment. We don't become aware of it as we look at our lives, because our lives are filled with all sorts of challenges, confusions, imbalances, everything that would make us feel, hey, stop the earth, stop the ship, I want to get off. I want to get out of here. This is not the show that I have chosen for myself. And I say to you, bravo. Let us know this is not the show you have chosen for yourself. Let's leave that theater and enter another theater. Let's leave that dimension and enter another. I gotta die? No. Leaving one dimension for another is not dying. Leaving one dimension for another, it's just going to a different theater, going to a different show, going to a different bus stop. You got on the limited human bus stop, and you want to get on the unlimited human bus stop. You want to be the unlimited human being, okay? To start out to be the unlimited human being, you got to know that you have a choice. That's hard. You have to know that you have a choice to be on the bus unlimited human beings or to be on the bus limited human beings. It's just a bus. It's not death or life or anything catastrophic or anything monumental. It's just making a choice. Now, if you had wisdom, which we all seem to lack in abundance, if I had wisdom, I would look up the timetable for the buses. And I would see that the bus of unlimitedness is just so vibrant. Their program director is outstanding. Their program director is amazing. Now, the limited bus schedule is mainly a program director who is sort of sleepy, a program director who's not paying attention to establishing a program. But I'm going to get on that program that is unlimited. Now, what am I going to do on that unlimited program? How am I going to act on that unlimited program? Do I know how to act? I've been on the limited program for so long that when I see the unlimited program, I think to myself, ha, how can that be? Now, in the show Eureka, we were watching the other night, the young girl was told to go and work in a nursing home. And she was supposed to be just a helper. And so she went into the gymnasium with the director, the program director of the nursing home, who is a busy, buzzy, happy, vital, dynamic woman. And she took this young girl in there, 15 years old, and she said, here is the recreation department, the finest in the world. And the girl looked at the recreation department, and old people in their 90s and 100s were hitting a ball back and forth that was not there. They were playing games that no one could see. They were doing all sorts of silly things. They looked, and they had their canes to hold them up. And then the program director says, oh, excuse me. And the program director gave the girl a pair of glasses which let her see what was really going on. And so these two people, these two aged men, with their canes and with their crutches and with their everything, were playing a game of tennis. They were in a great amphitheater filled with cheering people as these two men were playing tennis. And the cane that they had was their tennis racket. And they were hitting the ball back and forth in such tremendous hits. They were just amazing. They were just really amazing. And the girl looked at it and she said, wow, how old do you have to be to come into this gymnasium, to come into this experience, you know, because the experience was just one fantastic expression after another. Because the people went there not to be the age that they were, but to be the age that they thought of themselves as. They wanted to have the adventure with the program director of doing great and wonderful things and being dynamic, vital people as they always are, were, and will be, because that's their mental attitude. So this program director was taking this young girl into this new experience. And you and I are like that. We're being taken into a new experience. Now, we're going to get on a bus. And you're going to say, I want to get on the bus that goes to nowhere. And of course, you'll go nowhere. I want to get on the bus that goes to happiness, balance, love, unconditional love. I want to get on the bus that is so busy, so dynamic, so forceful, so exciting, that I haven't a moment to think of anything except all that exciting activity. And that's being a human being. You can be a human being as a dead beat, or you can be a human being as a live beat, whichever choice you make. Now, we want to check the bus schedules, and we want to make sure that we're getting on the bus that is active and dynamic. You say, well, I really don't feel active and dynamic. I really don't feel like I'd like to work on it. And of course, you get on the slow boat, and that's okay. There are lots of buses on the slow boat lane because a lot of people think that they have lived their life and now they want to retire, now they want to do nothing. And it doesn't work that way. They have retired some of the great CEOs of the world. They have retired some of the great geniuses, some of the great entrepreneurs of the world, because they were getting too fantastic. And they have retired them. They have put them out to pasture. Well, they formed an organization of retired out-to-pasture geniuses. And these out-to-pasture geniuses says, we will not be put in a position where we are not active any longer. Our life depends on our being involved and active and moving with the world. And we are available to guide and direct or help or enthuse any company that wants to move along. We don't care what it is. It's not the product that makes the difference. It's the attitude that makes the difference in the company. When you have a winning attitude, when you have an active attitude, when you have an excited attitude of life and of all that goes on, that's what it's all about. That's what it makes it all about. So now, you and I, we have to decide, are we going to be the retired CEO? Because we're geniuses, all of us. Are we going to go into Nowheresville and just sort of drift into nothing? Or are we such a dynamic activity in our mind and our action and our heart? Are we so involved in the fun of life and the attitude of life, not what life is doing, but the attitude about it? Are we so excited about that, that we want to keep alert, aware, active in what we're doing? Well, I say we are. I say, on being a human being, we want to be the most beautiful human being able. Do you want to live in a healthy body? Do you want to live in a healthy mind? Do you want to live in a healthy environment? Do you want to live in a healthy world? Do you want to live in all that is good and all that is beautiful and all that is fantastic? Do you want to, really? Well, if you do, then get off that other bus. Get off that slow boat to China bus. You want to get on the rocket to the moon. You want to get on the bus that has excitement in it, that these old people who look like they're just playing with their canes are really in Wimbledon in a beautiful tennis match among the champions. And why not? Why not? And it's your name. It's your name in there who's playing among the champions. Not because you're good, but because you are alive, because you are doing everything. Now, Ellen has been telling me that her daughter has fallen in love with another man. She's been married all these years, all these children, and she's fallen in love with another man. And the other man's already married, has children, and he's an absolutely fantastic tennis player. And she thinks he is just the world's best. And she's touting him and telling the world about him. And you'd think she was his wife. You'd think that she was his public relations director. You'd think that she was, what she is doing, she's getting on board that boat. She's not sitting back and doing nothing. She is mentally being alive, alert, and active in tennis, in things that interest her, in things that interest her family. She is not sitting back and retiring as a CEO. She's active. And she and her husband, they travel the world. They have vacations every now and then. They have activities every now and then. But they're always busy. Their mind is like a steel trap, open to everything and closing in on everything that's great. Well, that was great. Just knocked my microphone down here. But they had a great time, and they're having a great time. They're beautiful beings. They are beautiful human beings. Now, when will we call them divine beings? We will call them divine beings when they no longer need the human world in which to display their talent. They can live in an absolute consciousness. They can live in an attitude which does not have to be seen or proved to anyone else in the world. Now, let's just take them as an illustration, for instance. If we were to say that Mariella and Massimo, the daughter and son-in-law of Ellen, if we were to say that they today decided that they're just going to be wonderful, they're just going to live in an attitude of wonderfulness, they're going to live in an attitude of being divine, they're going to live in an attitude that all is in divine order right now, they're going to live in an attitude that they are the happiest people in the universe. Now, to live in that attitude does not mean they need a body, but they can have a body. It does not mean they need a family. Does not mean they need a business, or they need a world, or they need an activity in which to express it. They can do that. But what it means is that they transcend all the limitations that life might bring to them, and they move into the dynamics of the allness. They move into the dynamics of a beautiful word that we could learn and spell and put into our life so powerfully, and so do it right now. And that word is attitude. When you have the attitude of looking at young children as they're playing, you are the young children playing. When you have the attitude of looking at a successful business, you are the creator of that successful business. When you have the attitude of looking at an ideal human being, you are that ideal human being. It's just an attitude. When you have the attitude of being an ideal husband or an ideal wife, then you are the ideal husband or the ideal wife. It's all your attitude, 100% your attitude. And if you learn how to work with that attitude and be that attitude and express that attitude, only express that attitude, you will be able to do it easily. If you're working at it, if you're struggling at it, if you're trying to prove yourself in that attitude, what you're doing is you're causing yourself undue stress. You're causing yourself undue feelings of happiness or sadness or whatever you might have. Now, how can having the right attitude keep you from having a feeling of distress or happiness? I say to all of the students of the School of the Master, if anyone pushes your button to make you happy, don't let it happen. You're happy all the time, and nobody can ever push your button to make you happy or happier. If anyone pushes your button to make you sad, don't let it happen, because nobody has the right to touch your button and make you happy or sad. If you are with the right attitude of mind, you're always happy. You're always in control. You know who you are. You cannot be pushed around. But if you want to be pushed around, you'll be pushed around. You'll be pushed around to the point of view that you think that other people have the right to say things to you. That they see you and they know you better than you know yourself. You know me better than I know myself. No, don't give that privilege up to anybody. Nobody knows what's going on inside of us. Nobody knows how wonderful we are. Nobody knows what a genius we are. You say to your children, you're a genius, you're a genius, you're a genius. Now, we don't know that. But we do know we're planting seeds in that child. You're a genius, you're a genius. We're planting seeds in that child. We're planting seeds in that child. We're planting seeds in that child, and that's what's growing. Not that they are already a genius, which may be. Not that they never will be a genius, which won't be. But they are getting their garden, their mind, their brain filled with the beautiful seeds that say, you are a genius. Now, why should the kids have all of it? Keep a little for yourself. Say, I am a genius. I am a genius, and my children are geniuses. Not my children are geniuses because I'm a genius, but I have chosen the right seeds to plant in my garden, the genius seeds, and that's what I'm growing. Only genius inside of me. And I am training, working with my children. You are whole and perfect. You live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. You are a genius. You are wonderful. You see, that attitude, attitude, attitude. It's only the attitude. And with that attitude, what will happen to those children? They'll go out and uninhibitedly, with no snooty nose about it, they'll go out and they'll be a genius. They'll know the answers. They'll know the solutions to all problems. They'll want problems in their life so that they can show the solution to it. But they don't really want the problem as a problem. They merely want the problem as a showcase to show their solutions. Now, I mean, that's kind of nice, isn't it? I want to have cancer so that I can show the solution that cancer does not have to exist. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think I'd like that. I wouldn't like cancer. Well, we know within the body of every human being is every disease that ever could exist. We know that. We know that within the body of every human being is every perfect, ideal health beingness that could exist. We know that within every human being, the allness, the isness, the absolute exists right now. Now, if you're going to concentrate on the isness, the absolute, the allness, if you're going to concentrate on that, you will not make a very good human being because you'll transcend all that a human being. Now, you can continue to live as a human being, but you'll be untouched by the world that you're living in. You'll be untouched by needing to have a home, a family, needing to have a house, needing to have whatever, food, water, air. You won't need those things. Oh, come on, Herb, that's stupid. That's right, it is stupid, isn't it? Why did we need it in the first place? Because it was a game we play. Did you choose to come here and be a human being? Yes. Could you have chosen to come here and be a divine being? Yes. Do you think many people are here being a divine being and you don't even know it because you chose to be a human being and you only know other human beings? The moment you and I turn our attention to being a divine being, we see the world filled with divine beings. We see the world filled with people wanting to do beautiful things and doing beautiful things. We see the world filled with peace and love and harmony and joy and balance. We see the world filled that way. But we have chosen to be a human being. And on being a human being, that's okay. But we can also change our program and be a divine being. Now, I share with people on the level that they are, without discouraging them from being a human being, that they can be a divine being. But in being a divine being, you will no longer worry about your mommy and your daddy and your children and your husband and your wife. You'll no longer worry about the world about you and what's happening. You won't worry about food or you won't worry about things. And you say, my children are hungry. You as a divine being could never say your children are hungry. For you as a divine being would always say, my children always live in abundance of all. They have all the essence they need, they desire, they wish in their system. They have all the breath they need in their system, all the water they need. They are fulfilled in every way. You see, that's what you do. If you're a divine being, you'll see divine beings. If you are a human being, you'll see human beings. And that's what we do. Now, this is a kicker here. You are a divine being, so what do you see? Divine beings. If you try to see a human being from your divine being point of view, you won't. They do not exist. Now, if you are a human being and you see all the limitations that human beings seem to gather around them, you are every limitation. Now, if you want to experience those limitations, even while knowing that you're a divine being as a human being, you can. But be careful. The more aware you are of your divine beingness, the more intense will be the experiences you have in the human. the more intense will be your limitations, your illnesses, the more intense will be your brilliance. The more intense will be anything, because you don't live as an accidental happening thing. You live as some cause you put in motion. And so if there's a cause you put in motion that's no longer beneficial to you, you put another cause in motion that is beneficial. And you have so much power in you. You have so much drive in you from your ideal self that if you put a cause in motion anytime, it will instantly be your result, instantly be what you are. You say, well, I put causes in motion. I put causes in motion, but they don't happen. They don't take place for me. Yes, they do. They take place for you, but you've got so many other causes in motion fighting against the cause that you want to have that the cause you say you want to have can't come out, and it can't come out because it's being put to test. It's being challenged constantly, constantly. Ellen, you can go up in a balloon. And you say, okay, how do I come down? Well, that's up to you. I can tell you how to get up there, but you got to figure out how to come down. And so Ellen is going, well, let's see, do I want to take that test? Do I want to have that experience? So Ellen gets up there, and she's up in that balloon, and she's a human being. And so the air gets thinner and thinner and thinner, 17,000 feet, 20,000 feet, you know, and, you know, you can't breathe. So Ellen says to herself, I'm a human being, and I can't breathe up here. And Ellen says to herself, I want to be up here because I want to be up here. So I now am my divine self. I live in my divine body. I don't need to breathe. I don't need to drink. I don't need to eat. I live in my divine body, which is whole and perfect, which is one. You can say that. Now, is the challenge there for you to do something or just die? How many people would just die rather than think of themselves as being divine? And so now you're up there, and you say, okay, now I have handled that. I'm my divine self. I don't need breath or anything. Let's go further. Let's go further. Let's go to the planet of unconditional love. Or let's go to the sun, the moon, the stars. Let's go to the galaxies that are beyond. But then you say, okay, I don't want to spend all day doing this. And so you say to yourself, all time is now. And I want to be on the planet of unconditional love. You're there. I want to be on the sun. You're there. I want to be anywhere. You're there. Now, is this possible? Is this a reality? Is this something that we can do? Oh, yes. Science is telling us how we can do it very readily. They tell us that space and time and gravity and all these things must exist for these things. Though they're talking about human things, aren't they? But when you and I, as human beings, talk about the divine, when we put our program in motion for the divine, when we get on the bus that has lots of activities going, lots of exciting things going on, then we live a life of delight. But when we get on a bus, Sleepyville, or when we get on a bus that's pure absolute, pure divine, we feel not uncomfortable there. It's a newness to us. But it's not a newness to us because we've always been there. But we didn't remember that we were there. What is our purpose in being a human being? To play the game of a human being. To be the ideal human being. We're not here to be the schlucky human being. We're here to be the ideal human being. And everyone can. Now, how do we be the ideal human being? We tell ourselves. We came here to play the game. So let's play the game. Now, does the game have any limitations on it? None whatsoever. You can imagine yourself at Wimbledon playing tennis and scoring and doing very well and being light as a feather and just being fantastic. And when the game is over, you leap over the net and shake hands with your opponent. And you're just magical. And they don't think it's unusual. They don't think it's unusual because you don't think it's unusual. You just enter into anything you enter into with your whole attitude, with your attitude playing the game. And so then you're head of some great company and they retire you because they can't afford you. Because you're making so much money for the company and you're making so much money for yourself, they're jealous. And so they get rid of you. And of course, when they get rid of you, then the company ceases to make so much money because it was your programming that made it happen. But you don't care. You don't need to prove yourself to anybody. So what happens when you're retired? You say, well, I'm so full of ideas. I'm so full of, I'm going to go make this one. This is every company I ever touch, it becomes a success. I'm sitting in the park. Little children come and talk to me. And they say, you're a successful man. You're a very fantastic man. Tell me, how can I be fantastic like you? And I say to the children, sit right down. And I touch them on the head and I say, you are a master right now. You are fantastic right now. Now go out and start your company. They don't say what company. They don't say where, why, and how. They say, okay. And they run away to their home and they go to bed. And the next morning they wake up. They got ideas, imagination in them that just doesn't want to stop. So then they start these computer companies. They start these different companies. They design certain things that have never been designed before. They bring these things out, and they associate themselves with people who want to carry them out because they don't want to do the details. They just want to be the thinkers. And away they go. Who initiated that? You did. When you touched that child on the head and said, go for it. You have the genius within you. Go for it. Now, touch yourself on the head and say, go for it. And you can. But you cannot do it if you say, I don't have enough energy for this. I don't have this. I don't have that. You say, I have the dream. Now, with my dream, I'm going to inspire people to carry out the dream around me, to fulfill the dream around me, to live the dream around me, so that the dream is manifest. I don't have to do everything. I know that. I am the dreamer. I dream the dreams and I put them out. And then a cadre of people come around who say, I like that dream. I will help you carry that dream out. And I said, don't help me. I said, help yourself. Carry that dream out because now it's our dream. If it's just my dream, that's not the fun. But now it's our dream. So it becomes their dream. And then I can say, okay, you got the message. And I can go away and start some other dreams and do some other wonderful things. Because human beings like to do things. Human beings like to go and create things and bring things forth in their life. Human beings like to go and have magic happen in their world. And human beings are always doing this. And being a human being, that's who you are. But are you really a divine being and a human being? Yes, you are. Now, do you have to recognize you're a divine being and a human being? No, just act as though you are the most ideal human being that ever existed, the most fantastic human being that ever existed. When you act like you're the most fantastic human being that ever existed, then you will be the most fantastic being that ever existed. Now, how do we start acting like the most fantastic being that ever existed? Well, we start acting that way by saying what? We say, I like me. It's so simple. I like me. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. I'm filled with peace. I'm filled with love. I'm filled with joy. I like me. I like me. I like me. I like me. Now, when you say that, what happens to you? When you say that, what happens to you is that everything you do is a joyous experience. Everything you do is a fantastic experience. And that's great. Now, what happens when you do that? What happens when you do that? You're the master. Ellen was just watching her cat and demonstrating her mastership. And she saw this beautiful cat that she has, Dr. Sam. And he came in the front doggy door, or kitty door, And as he came in, he had a mouse in his mouth, or he had a lizard or whatever he had. And so Ellen thought, oh, well, that's nice. Now, Ellen mentally said, I'll take it out. I've seen it. And so the cat walked through the house, through the living room, went out the living room doggy door, and took it out on the front porch. And Ellen, just lovingly as a master, as her master consciousness, as the ideal human being, she just spoke her word and it was done. She wasn't saying, Now, Ellen wants to train herself as being the master of always putting the cause in motion. So now, Ellen is going to create herself this by doing this. She's going to be a Cesar Romero, who's going to be a dog whisperer. She's going to be a cat whisperer. And so she creates a cat coming in the house with a mouse and going out with the mouse. She's going to create the cat coming in the house with a rat and carrying it through the house and going out with it. She's going to create the cat coming in with a rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake is just going to be hanging alive but limp in her mouth, and she's going to carry it through the house, and she's going to drop it outside, and it's going to wiggle away. And that's, you see, but if she has a frown on her face, if she thinks that anything is impossible to her to do, she's going to have to face it. Anything she creates is going to be impossible. Don't create anything impossible. Ellen, what would be the thing for you as a human being to do for all experiences that might be visualized as not pleasant?
All is in divine order.
Ellen would say, all is in divine order instantly when she sees it and believe it. And what happens when she instantly sees it and believes it? It's done. Does she have to create those experiences for herself anymore? She doesn't have to create those experiences for herself anymore because she has now had the game. Ellen is hired as the CEO of General Electric. And so she goes to work for General Electric. She doesn't know beans about General Electric. She doesn't know beans about anything. All she knows is that she is hired because she is good. Okay? So she goes in there and she says, the first thing I want to do is to hire top quality beings who will run the various departments. And I'm going to give performance tests to all the beings who are currently running departments to see if they're in the right department. Perhaps they should be in some other department where they work better. And so then she does that. She doesn't do it. She has her staff do it. And they bring a report back to her within so many days, and then she looks at it, and she says, okay. She says to the staff, now where do you think these people might best be performing at a max for the company? And the people who did the test are just testing people. They're not top executives. They're nothing. They're just looking at that, and they're saying, well, if I had them as a master musician, and I'm having them as a janitor, I'm misusing their talent. I'm going to put them in charge of our music department. Now, this person here who loves to cook, who loves to cook, who loves to cook, who is just a homemaker at home and works hard at the office, I'm going to put them in charge of our homemaking department instead of in charge of our tennis department. And so on with all the people at General Electric. Now, could anyone do that? Does anyone do that? It does not take guts to do that. It takes creativity. Guts are when you're going against the best wishes, the best understanding of you have or anybody else has. Genius is when you're putting everything into its perfect divine order. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to feel that you're going against any program of anybody. You are merely putting a cause in motion for the highest and best for yourself and the company. So then you've discombobulated the entire company. You've discombobulated everybody in the organization, and now they're all on new tangents. and they all feel insecure. And so you have a meeting of all the people, and you, here you are, you're the top dog, but with no reason to be the top dog except that that's your consciousness. So then you have a meeting of all of the heads of the departments, and then you say to them, we have just done a research into what your talents are, what your interests are, and so forth, and what you're doing now. And we approve of your loyalty to the company and your loyalty to the product and so forth, but you would each do better in these areas. You'd each feel more comfortable, you'd feel more at home. And so this is what your new departments are going to be. We believe in you 100%, but we believe these are where your interests are, and these are where your genius can be most effectively used. That's what you say. Now, do you have to be some fabulous genius to say something like that? You merely have to believe in yourself. And so you believe in yourself, and you say that to these people. And what happens when you say that to the people? They love you to pieces, because you're the first one to come along who understood them, who understood what they really were, who checked them to see if they were really doing the thing where they were the happiest. And so after changing everyone to the new department, a month goes by, and then you call another meeting, and you say, okay, how do you all feel in your new departments? Would you like to have another set of tests because you now had some experience in that and see where other, what other department might, you might fit better in even? Hey, could we do that? So you give another set of tests. And these people have now opened up areas of their thinking, areas of their dreaming, areas of their imagination they had never done before, because they had been limited by what they were required to do, which was not their favorite. Now they were doing what was their favorite, but it wasn't really what they wanted to do all the time. They had other dreams, and so they wrote them down in the test. And you looked at it and you said, fantastic. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Starting Monday, you're all in a new department. So check with the front office to see what your new department is. You're not being fired. You're not being belittled. You're not. We're just going to give you a new challenge, which we think might be more exciting for you. And so they all come in on Monday, and they come up to the head office, and they say, okay, what's our job? And the cheese says, this is your job. Each one of you is the CEO of your company. And we have created 175 new companies because we have 175 divisions. And you are running your own company because you have such sincerity, you have such loyalty, you have such genius, you have such magic about you, you can do it. And they go and do it. Now, could they ever have dreamed only a few weeks before, a few months before, that they would do something of that nature? That they would be not only head of a division, but head of a whole new company, a whole new corporation? And what did you do about it? You were just having fun. You were just thinking, yeah, that's interesting. Let's see how we could work this out. Let's see what would happen if we did this. You just, and nobody is against you. Nobody is telling you your genius cannot be done. Nobody is telling you that your entrepreneurship is limited or unbeneficial. Nobody's telling you anything, because you're not telling anybody anything except to say that I like me. And then you go forth and you do it. This is what each of us do when we stop being the human game and play the human maxi game, the ideal game, the game of being divine. Because that's who you are. That's who we all are. And the game's not hard. It's only a challenge because we're looking at it from a different direction. So as you play this game now, let this game be something exciting and uplifting and compelling and wonderful for you, because that's what it's all about. Have a good day, CEO.